This is VOA News. We are remote. I'm Krista Melton. U.S. Supreme Court nominee Amy Coney Barrett is set to tell senators at her confirmation hearing starting Monday that courts should not try to make policy and should leave that to American presidents and to Congress. The 48-year-old conservative, President Donald Trump's third nominee to the 9-member court, is facing 4 days of hearings before the Senate Judiciary Committee this week. The Republican-controlled Senate, over vocal opposition from Democrats, is pushing to confirm her lifetime appointment to the Supreme Court by the end of October, just days before the presidential election. Republicans say they have the votes to confirm Barrett. If so, it would be one of the shortest approval processes on record and the closest ever to a presidential election. Democrats oppose Barrett's nomination to the court for several reasons, including the future of Obama-era health care reform and legal abortion. More than a week after testing positive for the coronavirus, U.S. President Donald Trump described himself Sunday as being in very good shape and said he was no longer taking any medication. He was speaking in a telephone interview on Fox News Channel on Sunday. He said, "I beat this crazy, horrible China virus. It seems like I'm immune." Trump said he had a, quote, protective glow after being treated with several medications during a 4-day hospital stay and after returning to the White House last week. He did not say and was not asked whether he has definitively tested negative for the virus, which has now killed around 214,600 people in the United States and infected more than 7.7 million Americans. A short time after his interview, Trump said on Twitter he had received a total and complete sign-off from White House doctors yesterday. This is VOA News. Azerbaijan says Armenian forces shelled the city of Ganja overnight. The Azerbaijani Foreign Affairs Ministry described the fighting on Twitter, saying the attack killed 7 civilians and injured 39 others, including children. The defense ministry in Nagorno-Karabakh said the charge of Armenian forces had shelled Ganja was an absolute lie. The incident has not been independently confirmed. A ceasefire between Armenian and Azerbaijani forces went into effect on Saturday at noon local time. It was meant to halt, at least temporarily, the deadly hostilities over the breakaway Nagorno-Karabakh region, which is claimed by both countries. The truce is intended to allow both sides to exchange prisoners and recover the dead. The United Nations Human Rights Office said it has received unconfirmed reports that more than 50 civilians, including children, have been killed since fighting erupted on September 27th. The fighting also claimed the lives of about 400 soldiers and forced thousands of people to flee their homes. The predominantly ethnic Armenian territory declared its independence from Azerbaijan in 1991 during the collapse of the Soviet Union. That sparked a war that claimed lives of as many as 30,000 people before a 1994 ceasefire. That independence, however, is not internationally recognized. Dozens of protesters in Belarus were arrested during the 10th straight weekend of demonstrations against longtime authoritarian president Alexander Lukashenko. Since the president claimed victory in a disputed August 9th election, protesters have regularly taken to the streets demanding his resignation and the release of political prisoners. Video from the latest demonstration shows security forces using water cannon and batons to disperse crowds. Minsk police say they detained several dozen people. The clashes follow an unusual meeting between Lukashenko and jailed opposition leaders on Saturday. Lukashenko maintains he won the poll in a landslide, garnering 80% of all ballots, despite widespread claims at home and abroad that the vote was heavily rigged to keep him in power. He has been in office for 26 years. The United Nations on Sunday marked the International Day of the Girl Child during a year in which a global pandemic and subsequent economic downturn has created future challenges for girls. The UN created the day in 2011 to promote girls' rights. It says young women's difficulties have been increased during the pandemic in the areas of education, child marriage, domestic violence, and economic opportunity. Via remote, I'm Marissa Melton. You're listening to VOA News.